tune for the very best in contemporary Christian music. 91.5 FM, WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Friday, and that is a wonderful, wonderful thing. This is the last weekend to shop before you get to enjoy Christmas with your family next week. So I hope that everything is moving forward well with the shopping plans and things of that nature. And so Merry Christmas, and I pray that God gives us all patience as we're dealing with all of those last minute shoppers and all of the traffic and things of that nature. So I'd like to take this moment just to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God. We're going to be having our Sunday morning Christmas service Sunday morning, 10:30. Would love to have you come and be a part of that. Also to invite you out to our Wednesday night Christmas Eve service. That will be at 6 o'clock. It'll go till 7 p.m. So those are our two opportunities. Maybe you've listened to the Refresh radio program. This has been a great year for the Refresh radio program. Been a great year. But maybe you've listened and you've never had the opportunity to give. I want you to know we are blessed and highly favored. We are blessed to be a blessing. We are thankful. This has been a record year for the Refresh radio program as far as finances go, and we say thanks be to God. Thank the Lord for his saints and the friends that we have that believe in this program. And so we want to continue to bring a word of truth and a word of blessing. We exist to be a blessing to God, to be a blessing to our family, to be a blessing to the church, and to be a blessing to the community. If you do not have a church, we would love to have you come and be a part of what Merritt Assembly of God is doing. We are being very intentional about reaching out. We've got a youth program that is going to relaunch in January. We've got a lot of great things that are coming up in store. But before we get to all of that, we get to celebrate the birth of Jesus. So if you don't have a church home, this is my personal invitation to you to come to either Sunday morning or to our Wednesday night Christmas Eve communion service and introduce yourself. If you come on Wednesday night, we're going to start right at 6. We start right at 10:30 unless there is something really, really unusual that happens. But I believe in starting a service on time. And so Wednesday night, we'll have you out the door by 7 p.m. unless you decide that you just want to stay and talk to folks, and they might stay for a few minutes and talk. But outside of that, we want you to get on with enjoying your Christmas with your family. So 165 North Grove Street, hopefully we will see you at church in the coming days. I want to take you back to Psalm 142. Let me read this entire passage. So as we look at towards the latter part of this psalm, that we fully understand what God has done. David writes, "I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord, I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path." That's a capital Y there, by the way. "In the way in which I walk, they have secretly set a snare for me. Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry. for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. So on yesterday's program, we had talked about that God is our portion in the land of the living. And so I want you to know you do have future blessings in heaven, but you also have present blessings that God wants us to experience in our lifetime. It is not that God is looking to keep things from us. He wants us to realize that he is the one who gives every good and perfect gift. And so I pray that this Christmas season that Jesus will be more real to you than you've ever experienced him before. Here in verse number 6, after talking about in verse 2 that he has trouble, and in verse number 3 he describes that his spirit was overwhelmed, that in verse 4 there was no safe place for him to run, there was no one who cared for his soul, but yet he could cry out to God. God was his shelter. God was his portion in the land of the living. In verse number 6, his request is, God, deliver me from my persecutors. That word deliver means to snatch away or to deliver, to tear out of the way or out of the enemy's hand. That's what deliverance looks like. Around our house, with our family that we've, you know, are blessed to be able to enjoy this season with, there's this toddler that has gone from just creeping and crawling to standing to walking to mama, get your running shoes on because baby's gonna run. That's the transition that is taken in a very short period of time. And that curiosity and that seeing with his eyes other people doing things, and therefore, because he's seen other people do them, he is persuaded that he can do it as well. He takes some things that cause a grandfather to keep a very close eye on his experiment, because sometimes he finds himself where if there's a misstep, it could be the source of a tumble. And so I'm constantly keeping an eye out to make sure that if he finds himself in a dangerous place, that one of us is going to be able to swoop in and to deliver him from the precarious situation that he might find himself in. And so when I looked up this word deliver and saw snatch away or deliver, I was reminded not only of that toddler, but I was also reminded of the promise that Jesus is one day going to come again, and he is going to catch us away to be with him forever and ever. What a wonderful, wonderful present gift that is going to be. I'm so thankful that there is nothing that the enemy can plan that can prevent Jesus from fulfilling his promise. When he says he is going to deliver us, he will deliver us. Rich Mullins sang a song titled "My Deliverer Is Coming." And we need to thank God for that. So the deliverance here that David is talking about is that he is surrounded by people that don't care whether he lives or dies. They don't care if his soul is thriving. They don't care about if he's already facing a problem. If it magnifies it, they're unconcerned about that. David describes them as his persecutors. Persecutors were those who pursued or chased a person to overtake them with hostile purpose. They were people who hunted others down. That's what David was facing. There's some very real persecution that goes on for believers around the world. We need to admit to ourselves here in America, while there is some persecution, there are some people who target Christians to try and do them financial harm, to do them business harm. There are people who do not have good intentions when it comes to believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm not saying that there's not persecution here. I'm just saying we don't really see it that frequently to the degree that other parts of the world do, where if you take a stand for as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to want you to not be in their community. They're not going to want you to live. Or if you do live, they want you imprisoned. That's what goes on there. And so here, the persecutors are real. But God's ability to deliver from those persecutors is also real. Let me talk one more moment here about deliverance. There are temptations that we face. This deliverance is different than that, but it has the way that many people read that passage comes to mind when I was reading the lexicon and doing my study preparing for the radio program. In Corinthians, it says that there is no temptation that will overtake you, but God will make a way of escape. And the way that a lot of people look at temptation is that God's way of making escape is he's going to rip the roof off of the building. You may be surrounded by the problem. He's going to reach down, grab you by the hair, and jerk you up and out of that situation. And really, when it comes to temptation, the problem is not with the environment. The problem is not necessarily with the people around there. The problem is our hearts. And so the way that God makes a way of escape for believers out of temptation is he changes our heart. So if you have been constantly ensnared by one thing, God comes in and heals that part of your heart so that you no longer desire that thing that was tempted. That's why I believe that the temptations that Jesus faced in the wilderness, I believe they were very real temptations. I believe that those things have tripped up many, many people throughout the course of humanity. But because there was nothing enticing about those offers in the heart of Jesus, you see, he had already seen the Father. He had already seen the glory of the Father. He already knew the heart of the Father. Jesus was not adverse to going to the cross. He was the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. He knew that the things that the devil was offering, that the one making the offer was a liar, and that the things he was offering were not his to offer. And he most certainly was aware that the devil was not worthy to be worshiped. There was no heart change that was necessary there. So that's why it said the devil looked for a more opportune time. Can I also say this? There are a lot of people who go through life and they go through it alone on their spiritual journey. And the reality is the devil's looking for an opportune time in my life. He's looking for an opportune time in your life. My wife and I have been blessed that in the several decades that we have been married, there have been very few times when both of us were discouraged at the same point in time. There have been times when I've been discouraged and she was a pillar of faith. I just read a testimony probably a month ago about a very famous person who got horrific physical news and was spiraling out of control, but their spouse was a believer and said, "This is not the way we're supposed to handle this situation." And God brought them through that situation in a glorious way. And he attributed the fact that he was able to survive that very dark season because of the faith of his wife. And so I would encourage you to surround yourself with other believers of like faith, not people who are going to be riding the roller coaster of life all by themselves. When they're up, they're up. When they're down, they are really down, and they have no control over what's happening in their life. And so they're just all over the place spiritually. Surround yourself with people of faith that can be there and say, "You know what? We're going to build your faith up. God is your deliverer. And so we're going to see him bring us out of this situation." There's one more thing about the persecutors here in Psalm 142, 6. David says, "They're stronger than I am. They're stronger than I am." This is a word of comparison. Okay, so when David looked at them, he said, "They're stronger than I am. They may be younger than I am. They're stouter than I am. They may be bolder than you are. They also may be more arrogant than you are." The thing about believers is God gives grace to the humble. I highly recommend a life of humility. Humility was one of the characteristics of Mary. And so God gives grace to the humble. And so if you want a gift that is going to yield tremendous blessings in your life, I want to encourage submitting yourself to God, humble yourself under his mighty right hand, and allow him to bring the grace of God into your life. So I told you this word stronger, it's a comparative word. It compares me with someone else. But the Bible tells us we're not supposed to compare ourselves with one another. You're not the standard. I'm not the standard. Jesus is the standard. And whereas there may be people younger than I am, there may be people smarter than I am, there may be people who are bolder than I am, richer, better looking, whatever it might be, they might come out pretty good comparing themselves to me, but they will never be stronger than God. And so when David views his persecutors and he knows his own limitations, he says, "God, I'm crying out to you, because if I'm going to get through this, it's going to be because you got me through this." there was a season in our early marital life, and we had just said yes to obeying God, and that yes did not come with greater finances in our life. It came with fewer finances in our life. And so if I told you how much my wife and I were making combined, it would amaze you. Combined, we were making, I believe, $19,000 a year. This was during a time where many people in the world were experiencing financial increase that was, they made way, way, way more money than that. And I was looking at our financial situation. It wasn't just two of us. There was a baby in the house. And by the way, if you know people with kids, if you want to be a blessing to them, if they've got young kids, you would not believe the price of diapers these days. Let me tell you what a eye-opener that was. My wife had me go with her one day to the grocery store, and there's parts of the grocery stores I'm familiar with and parts of them I don't go to. And she said, let's go over here and buy some diapers. And I walked over there, and it's like, whoa, my goodness gracious me, oh my. Thank God we're not having any more babies. that's what I was thinking. And so during that season in our life, I said, honey, I have no idea how we are going to get through this. Now, we were not living opulently. We were not living fancy. We were just at the lower end of the socioeconomic bracket. And several months went by, and I wasn't complaining about it. It was just the reality. And I realized that we were now on the other side of that. And I said, here I am on the other side of that, and I don't know how God did it, but he did it. So the words that I share with you, they're not just words of theory. They're words of reality. There's words of promise that I've experienced. God is your deliverer. You may find yourself in a desperate situation. Let him come and snatch you out of that situation. You know, one of the things that cute little bundle of joy running around our house is, if you're coming to pick him up, he throws his arms up so that you can pick him up with ease. I pray today that you and I, we will have our arms extended so that God will be able to come and pick us up, deliver us from that environment of people who are chasing you down, trying to pursue you to do you harm and not good. Please recognize God is looking to do you good in your life. Your problems may be bigger than you are, but they are not bigger than God is. And so I would highly recommend that you cry out to him and say, God, have mercy on my soul. Let me move on to verse number 7 here. This is the portion of the psalm that brought us to this passage in the first place. And it says, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. Now, if you remember from verse number 4, David had prayed, no one cares for my soul. But now he's saying, God, bring my soul out of prison. What he realized is that there is one who does care for his soul, and that's God. And let me describe the situation. David said that his life was very much like living in a prison at this point in time. The problems, the troubles, the magnitude of them, the enemies that were actually trying to hunt him down. They were not hunting him down for good. They were hunting him down for evil. They were stronger than he was. And he said, God, would you bring my soul out of prison? If you remember, that word soul means your life. It talks about your desires, your emotions, your passions, what you have an appetite for. And I want to challenge you before you go into the weekend here. Let God bring your very life out of that prison. In sense of prisons, you know, places where people are incarcerated, one of the things that they talk about is the recidivism rate. The people who come in, then they get out, and then they do something, and they end up right back in there. And they want that rate to be very low. One of the things that I have discovered about, you know, the enemies operating in people's lives is he tends to trip people up with the same thing over and over and over and over again. And I pray that during this Christmas season, that God will not only bring you out of any prison you might be in, but he'll also keep you out of that prison so that you can walk in the freedom that is available to those who are led by the Spirit of God. Let me pray for you today. It's a Friday. I do want to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. We're 2 blocks north of 520. We're 2 blocks west of Courtney Parkway. Type in Merritt Assembly of God, M-E-R-R-I-T-T, and your MAPS program, it'll bring you right to us. Sunday morning at 10:30, we also have our Christmas Eve communion service Wednesday night at 6 p.m. That's different from our normal Wednesday night service. Wednesday night, 6 p.m., but we will be done by 7. But we would love to worship with you. Come visit with us, worship the King, and who knows, God may have you come and be a part of the great body of believers that worship there. Father, bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.